The new star of the European debt crisis? It's Finland.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In recent weeks, the focus of the European cash crunch has been Portugal, which is currently negotiating the terms of its bailout. But today, it's all about Finland. The country held elections over the weekend, and the results will make bailouts a lot harder to hammer out. Christopher Worth reports from London.
Finland isn't one of those countries you hear about when you hear about the European debt crisis. That's because it's not indebted like Greece and Portugal, and it's not as rich as Germany. But it is a creditor country that ponies up money for the bailouts, only perhaps not for long. Yesterday, a fringe party called the True Finns came from nowhere to win 19% of the vote, in part by vowing to block the bailout of Portugal. Daniel Gross is with the Center for European Policy Studies. He says this is part of a much broader trend.
The broader trend is that the richer countries, those who give the credits, have now a population which is more and more opposed to further bailouts, and that tension is going to mount.
Which means Finland could just be the tip of the iceberg. The key country, of course, is Germany. Gross says that if German political parties take a cue from Finland, that could spell the end of the bailouts in Europe. That, in turn, could force a restructuring of much of the debt European countries owe, a move that would ripple through the global economy. Remember, the U.S. was almost sent into a double-dip recession when the European debt crisis began. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Well, in the nation's capital, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments tomorrow in a key global warming lawsuit. Six states and New York City want the right to sue power companies for their contribution to climate change. As Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, the case is putting the Obama administration in an awkward position.
We'll get to that awkwardness in a minute, but first, the case. This one started back in 2004 when George Bush was president and the Environmental Protection Agency had no desire to regulate global warming emissions. The plaintiffs, including Connecticut and California, hoped the federal courts would do it instead. They filed suit against American Electric Power and four other utilities that burn a lot of coal to make electricity.
These five companies are the biggest carbon polluters in the country. They are responsible for 10% of all the carbon dioxide from the United States and 2.5% of all the world's carbon dioxide.
The world's CO2 emissions, to be more precise. Plaintiff's attorney David Doniger says they're simply asking the courts to do what Congress won't, set a limit on how much CO2 these utilities can pump out of their smokestacks every year. That's an idea the Obama administration likes in theory, but the Justice Department is siding with the power companies on this one. Here's the awkward part.
One of the defendant utilities is the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Columbia University's Michael Gerard says the federal government owns the TVA, so the Justice Department represents the utility at the Supreme Court. Gerard says it's not that the feds want to let the TVA and other greenhouse gas emitters off the hook.
But they think that it's really up to the executive agencies and to Congress to set these emission standards, and that as long as that's happening, the courts shouldn't be setting these standards.
Of course, whether that's happening is debatable. The EPA is adopting greenhouse gas rules but hasn't come out with specific limits. Plaintiffs see this case as the ultimate backstop in the battle to stop global warming. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe and Asia, down more than 0.5% in Hong Kong, following news of new steps to tackle inflation in China. The country is raising requirements for how much cash banks have to keep on hand. China's economy, by the way, is growing about 10% a year. Also, Holland-based Philips Electronics is ditching its TV business after disappointing sales. Philips is having a tough time competing with low-cost rivals. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow jumped 56 points to close at 12,341.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. Marketplace Innovations Desk is supported by Jaguar. You can experience the 2011 Jaguar XJ at a local dealer or visit JaguarUSA.com.
This evening, a 500,000-pound truck, so big it takes up the entire highway, is scheduled to make its way from Idaho to Alberta, Canada. It's one of many scheduled to make the journey, and those big loads have sparked a big controversy. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
Imperial Oil wants to use a small winding highway through the Rocky Mountains to move giant pieces of mining equipment to an oil sand operation in Canada. Local businesses and environmental activists say it will devastate Highway 12, known for its pristine wilderness and steep switchbacks.
I don't think they're safe. This road wasn't designed for 250-foot long, 30-foot high, 25-foot wide loads.
Gary McFarlane with Friends of the Clearwater says the huge trucks tear up the roads and cause other damage. A test shipment last week hit a power line and cut power to 1,300 homes.
Local businesses fear it will change the nature of this wild and scenic river corridor to a high and wide industrial corridor.
Pius Rollheiser is a spokesman for Imperial Oil. He says the trucks will move at night to avoid disrupting business, and Imperial will pay to improve roads and hire highway patrol.
Infrastructure investments and the local spending necessary to support these shipments, we estimate would result in about $100 million in economic activity for Idaho and Montana.
The shipments would take roughly a year to complete, with more than 200 separate trips. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, to the royal wedding, which is less than 2 weeks away. Papa John's Pizza is celebrating the occasion with a pie that is a portrait of Prince William and Kate Middleton. Kate has black olive hair and a cheese dress. William has a suit made of pepperoni and peppers. Papa John's chief marketing officer says it tastes as good as it looks. You can judge for yourself at marketplace.org. Meanwhile, the New York Post reports that NBC is going the opposite direction, cutting back its aggressive and comprehensive coverage of the wedding because the happy couple is too boring for an American audience. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Oil is a finite resource, as in one day there isn't going to be any more. Just don't tell that to the folks who drill for a living.
The United States Geological Survey concluded that America would be out of oil by 1935. While they were wrong...
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Tough Oil, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.